Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let us confess our sins in the silence of our hearts. We confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, your Son did not remain distant from our brokenness, but came among us, touching the suffering, speaking your life-giving word, and making the deaf hear and the mute speak. Grant us ears that are opened to hear your voice, hearts that trust your promises, and mouths that gladly confess your saving name. As you continue to come to us through the humble gifts you have appointed, strengthen our faith by your word and sacraments, that we may rejoice in the salvation won for us through the crucified and risen Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus into a predominantly Gentile region where he ministers to those who are suffering and in need of salvation. By opening the ears of the deaf and loosening the tongue of the mute, he fulfills the promises spoken long ago through the prophet Isaiah, revealing himself as the long-awaited Messiah who has come to restore his broken creation. Our reading tonight comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Finally, you may be seated. It's been a long one. Sorry about that. But it's good exercise. We're going to talk about work today. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a German saying, Ärmel hochkrempeln und in die Hände spucken. You know what that means, right? Which literally means, let's roll up our sleeves and spit in our hands. And it basically says, let's get to work. And it's usually said when facing a job that one dreads, something hard, uncomfortable, or dirty. Now, there's a TV show here in America that gained worldwide fame, Mike Rowe's Dirty Jobs. I don't know if you know that one, but Mike, who is the moderator, he steps out of his comfort zone and into some of the hardest and messiest jobs on the planet. And he does it in order to highlight the men and women who really get their hands dirty in order to keep our society running. We're talking about septic tank cleaners, sewer inspectors, pig farmers, many, many others. Everything that really requires hard work and some dirt on your hands. I have to get this a little higher. Or I'm gonna need glasses. So, very good. It's better. I'm a little hidden, but. So, Mike did not have to do this, right? He chose to do this. He could have stayed in his comfortable world, found a project where he directed others to do all the hard work, but he made it his mission to shine a light on the people and the workplaces that we, or some of us, usually like to stay away from, but whose work we nevertheless need in order to survive. And often these people do not quite receive the respect that they deserve. So Mike intentionally walks into the mess with a mission. And that is something that we see happening today in our gospel text in Mark. So we often look at this passage, you know, with some disgust, some wonder, what's going on here? Jesus Christ, God incarnate, can walk on water, the Messiah. So he puts his fingers into a man's ears. I mean, those were not the cleanest of times, right? The Q-tip had not been invented yet. And, this waxy yellow residue, on Jesus' fingers, right there, afterwards. And then he goes even further. He spits and touches the man's tongue. Now, whatever that exactly means, some translations have gone so far as to say that he spat onto the man's tongue, Others assume he may have spat into his hands, like the Germans spit into your hands and get to work, which is probably what happened, because Jesus uses spit in other situations. We know other stories where he spits in the mud and then he makes something and heals with that and things like that, but honestly, what is going on here? This is all very mysterious. Surely Jesus, right? God himself could have done differently. He could have achieved this in a different way. I mean, just a few verses earlier, you're all reading your summer guide for Mark, so you all, you know exactly where we are in the story. So what just happened is he just cast out a demon out of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter without ever seeing her. It's never been on site. He just says, your daughter's healed because of your faith. Bam. So he can do that. And he healed others who just touched his robe. Also a cleaner way of doing things. And he raised people from the dead with just a word. Just a word. And that's something we find here too, right? A word. Ephatha. Be opened. A word from God. And it is that word that brings the actual healing. The word combined with the physical means of touch and spit brings the healing. Now, sisters and brothers, something really, really important is happening here. Yes, Jesus has already demonstrated his power without any physical means, simply by speaking, even by willing it to happen. But here, he does something different on purpose. He's showing us something really, really important and very personal. Jesus shows us the character of God. He teaches us who God is, who he really is. Because we have a God who can accomplish everything by sheer power, but God is a person, and this person likes to get his hands dirty. That's just how he is. Now keep this in mind. This is going to be important. And now think about ourselves. We live in a world where almost everything can be achieved conveniently, done by a machine, calculated by a computer, done by somebody else that we pay. And yet, how much satisfaction do we get from doing something ourselves, right? From getting our hands dirty. We love that. Fixing something ourselves, we're proud of it. Going out into our garden, putting our fingers into the soil. Building something with our own hands, cooking something ourselves instead of takeout, from solving a problem with our own minds, you know, those Sudoku crossword puzzles, whatever. And why do we do that? It makes us proud. And you are a reflection of God. We're made in his image. This is your God. We mess up creation. He comes down himself to fix it. Hands on. He becomes man. He uses the means of our world to heal us and to save us. Now Jesus is showing us something hugely important. One of the keys to understanding God. God's word can accomplish anything, but the way he brings it to us is anchored in our reality. Not some mumbo-jumbo, some spiritual, physical, tangible, hands-on means that produce both physical and spiritual results at the same time. Now, I want you to remember John 1. Most of you know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have the Word, right? God's powerful words can create creation. Ben. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. Jesus is God's word, but the word was made flesh. And here we have it again. The word, God's word, the almighty power that, you know, does the healing, does the creation, does everything, is combined with something physical, flesh. God is becoming part of our reality. And now listen closely, sisters and brothers. Because there is a pattern here, a pattern that we see throughout the gospel, throughout the Bible. And it will become hugely important once you see it, for your entire Christian journey. It begins here in John 1, a physical body combined with God's word equals the arrival of the Messiah on earth. And then it continues at the Jordan River in Mark 1. which we started out with in June. The water of baptism, water, physical, combined with God's word. This is my beloved son, marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And later on, water and word become the means by which he gives us faith through baptism. Every baptized Christian. Word and water equal the faith that saves. And then we have today's gospel in Mark 7. Dirty fingers and spit combined with God's word. Be opened. And it equals the healing of the body. And then comes the Last Supper. Today's a communion day. Bread and wine. They sustain physical life, but combined with God's word, they sustain your spiritual life. And then comes the grand finale. Dirty, rusty nails driven through living flesh. Our Savior's blood spilled onto rough wood. The most horrifying invention of humanity. The absolute worst expression of human evil, torture. Yet when combined with God's word, it is finished. They are transformed into their complete opposite, eternal salvation. Death becomes life. Eternal darkness becomes eternal light. God is good. Do you see it? Do you see the pattern? Do you see the incredible importance of what Jesus is showing us here in Mark 7? God is good. He's here in this physical world. He's working through this physical world, through your neighbors, through you for your neighbors. He uses the elements of this world for us. He loves us so much that he's willing to get his own hands dirty, willing to do the hardest work, the dirtiest jobs. Notice how he describes himself. I am the good shepherd. That was one of the hardest and dirtiest jobs of that time. Essential for Israel's survival, of course. But yet shepherds were seen and despised because of their uncleanness and rough outdoor life. Nobody liked a shepherd, but they needed them. That's how God describes himself. I am the good shepherd. Remember this. God likes to get his hands dirty. He calls himself all kinds of things. Now think about that. He calls himself a farmer, a builder, a physician, a midwife. This is how God describes himself and his job on this earth. Jobs that require people to get their hands dirty and that many would rather avoid. But where would we be without their work? Where would we be without God's work? He literally works himself to death in order to bring us out of our misery and into everlasting life. He's a true father to us. For greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Again, the hardest thing any human has ever done, bearing someone else's punishment while being completely innocent, enduring excruciating pain in order to accomplish the greatest labor of love imaginable, saving his beloved people from eternal death. All of that dirty work was done for you, by your God, out of pure grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us sing our next song.